This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing back a returning guest. He was on my show back in April this year. We're talking about no other than U.S. Nuclear Corp. You can find him on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol UCLE. Very undervalued here and has been for since, I think, the COVID-19, between 70 and 80 cents. And with us today is the CEO and chairman and president of the company, Mr. Bob Goldstein. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Everett. It's good to be here.
For my new listeners, just briefly, about 30 seconds, give them the elevator pitch of who you guys are and what you guys do first.
Certainly. So U.S. Nuclear Corp. is a high-tech manufacturing company. We make a line of drones and other systems that have sensors to detect toxic materials and, you know, help you look for clean water and clean air rather than the polluted kind. We also have stake in a couple of other companies. One is into fusion power, and the other is into brain stimulation and Parkinson's disease and other important medical problems. So that's what we're doing now.
You know, the last time you were on the show, we started getting into a little bit about fusion energy. That being said, what are the Artemis Accords and Outer Space Treaty of 1967? What is that?
Good question. So we all know that the U.S. is going to head back to land on the moon and then Mars eventually. The Outer Space Treaty of 1967 and much more recently the Artemis Accords, they're the legal framework for what you're allowed to do in space, what you're not allowed to do. Basically, it breaks down to peaceful purposes, international control. Nobody gets to put in a flag and say, okay, this piece of the moon belongs to the U.S. and this piece belongs to China. That's not allowed. But the Artemis Accords, they allow for peaceful development. And, you know, that means mining and stuff like that. Also, peaceful purposes, actually, there is some military activity allowed, depending on how you read the specs, but there's no weapons of mass destruction are allowed in space anywhere.
Well, that brings me to my next question. Do you think in our lifetime, your lifetime of mine, that we'll actually see the United States put a man on Mars?
No, good question. I hope so. You know, it depends how many more years we got in us, I think. So the moon base is supposed to, you know, the next visit to the moon is supposed to be 2024, and we're supposed to do a little moon colony by 2028. But as far as Mars goes, we might have one or two people go to Mars in the next 15 years or something. It's all on Elon Musk's shoulders, right? He's got to get us there.
Well, the reason why I asked you that question was to ask you this question. How will we, you know, how will we put this into fruition, if you will, by using fusion energy? Is that what you guys are working on right now?
Exactly. Yeah, the moon base and the Mars colony, they're going to need power, you know, so they're going to try to put up a permanent habitat. The habitat will grow into maybe a little town or something, a little colony. For that, you need heat and you need electricity. We burn oil here and coal and all that stuff. You can't do carbon-based because there's no oxygen on either moon or Mars.
Right.
The moon has no atmosphere whatsoever. Mars has an atmosphere, but it's only about 1% as thick as ours, so useless for wind power. You know, nobody really likes fission nuclear power. But fusion, it's clean, it's modular, it's efficient. 1 gram of hydrogen can give you 1 megawatt of power.
Wow.
So as far as, you know, the payload, when you put up a spaceship, if you want to do a solar farm, to bring up the materials for a solar farm, you might need tons of solar panels, a few grams of heavy hydrogen, and you got it covered. The moon base is, you know, run by the U.S., the EU, and some other friends, and the plan is to put the first permanent people on the moon in the Shackleton crater on the lunar south pole, and it's a big crater. I guess maybe an asteroid hit there or something. I don't know, but at the bottom of the crater, it's eternal darkness. It never gets.
Mm.
But on the peaks, you know, when you have an explosion like that, you get some peaks all around the crater. So the high points on the crater, they always see the sun. And anytime you have, you know, permanent light on one side and dark and cold on the other, you can get something from that. So that's where they're going to put the first station. And we feel that they absolutely need a fusion plant to produce their, you know, some heat for them, because you got to heat it up, and also their electric power.
Well, I got a couple questions, because I'm intrigued about this fusion energy. One, tell us about the fusion energy for spaceships, and if you used to put it in a ball game, are we just in the first inning, or are we in the third inning?
First inning, for sure. In a spaceship, so, you know, the spaceships we're doing now, you know, NASA's spaceships and Elon Musk's spaceships, whatever, they're working on conventional fuels. They're going to get us to the moon, and they'll get us to Mars, but if we want to do, you know, deep space, you need something different, because we were just talking about how much the fuel weighs. These liquid fuel rockets and solid fuel rockets, they have tons and tons of fuel that you burn it and it's gone. But with fusion, as we said, just a few grams and you can get a lot of energy.
Could that ever be perpetual? Could that ever be perpetual?
Yes, yes, I believe it could. Well, perpetual is maybe too big a word here. So. It could go for thousands of years. So let's say that.
Wow, yeah.
So I just wanted to explain how you get from fusion power to actually have a rocket ship. So imagine that you have a metal tank,
right,
with a nozzle at one end, and it's got some kind of gaseous substance in there. And then you focus some heat inside the tank. The gas will expand, and it will push some of the gas out the back end. If you heat it enough, then the gas will come out quickly, and you'll accelerate. You know, some of the fighter pilots, they pull, when they're doing a fast turn, they pull several Gs. They have a lot of pressure. If you're willing to put your astronauts in a fairly high G environment, then, and you leave this going for a long time, then you can get to speeds that are not to the speed of light, obviously, but getting nearby stars.
Yeah.
I do think that, of course, you know, getting to the nearby star could take hundreds of years, but I think that probably in this century, we'll certainly be sending spaceships out to the other stars with or without people in them, and they won't arrive for a long time, but we've got to get them ready and send them out so we can meet our neighbors in space.
I'm going to give you the closing arguments here. I want to talk a little bit about your stock before you let you go. As I said earlier in the program, very undervalued here. Your thoughts on where we go from here?
You know, I hope we'll go forward. I think that we are getting some excitement in the last several weeks. Obviously, we're surviving the pandemic here, we're doing some very high-tech, exciting things. I think that the stock will go up quite a bit. We have a number of plans that I'm not supposed to tell you about yet, but that will improve our stock value a lot.
My guest today has been Bob Goldstein. He is the president and chairman and CEO of U.S. Nuclear Corp. If you're looking for an entry point into a great technology company, a radiation detection holding company, look no further than this company. You can find them on the OTCQB. This is my personal opinion here. This is a great entry point at 73 cents a share. Their ticker symbol is UCLE. Bob, I want to thank you for stopping by and coming on the show. Hopefully you'll come back in 40 or 50 days and give myself and the listeners an update.
Absolutely. That's great. Thanks so much, Everett.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.